when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is an RNZ podcast.
Hello, I'm Simon Morris. If it's true that there are only half a dozen or so story ideas in the world, then one of them is surely The Journey. Not the hero's journey, which is something different and is all about the hero in question becoming bigger, better, and richly rewarded by the end. The simple journey is more straightforward, literally so, in fact, following your nose, one foot in front of the other. It's also just about the first story ever written. Homer called it the Odyssey. The Coen brothers called it O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Boys, just stick with me.
Yeah, we're in a tight spot.
Believe me, I got a plan. And I can get my wife back and we can get out of here.
Okay, I'm with you fellas.
The Odyssey has been turned into just about every genre going. How the West Was Won, The Hunger Games, Don Quixote, The Hangover. These aren't particularly heroic people often. They're just people with a simple aim, to overcome all obstacles and reach journey's end, hopefully in one piece.
We're looking for a private James Ryan.
I don't know anything about Ryan. I don't care. Finding him so he can go home. If that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission.
Most war stories are odysseys one way or another, from The Great Escape to Saving Private Ryan and 1917. Quite a lot of children's classics turn out to be odysseys too. The Wizard of Oz, Huckleberry Finn and Watership Down. I have a soft spot in my heart for a little Irish film called Into the West.
Where's this horse leading me? Why is he bringing me back to all the old places?
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Is it us they're after?
Sure it is.
Them two boys never forgot the tricks of the travelers.
Two young Romany kids steal a horse and head for the coast with their desperate dad in pursuit. I hadn't thought of Into the West for years until a New Zealand film called The Mountain borrowed a similar idea for its own purposes.
Your mountain is your ancestor.
They'd be so proud of me if I got to the top.
You can be my Sherpa.
Carry all my things. Make it to the top first and get no credit.
Curiously, this week sees three variations on the old Odyssey, each quite different, but all involving desperate people who are sure their troubles will be over if they can just get from unsatisfactory A to far more attractive B. The multi-award-winning Italian film Il Capitano sees two kids in Senegal take off for fame and fortune in Europe. And the third Odyssey this week features Netflix queen Millie Bobby Brown as she puts a twist on a fairy tale quest in Damsel. Now, I have to confess I had an ulterior motive looking at Damsel this week. The alternative was yet another gargantuan punch-up involving furry Leviathan Kong and the fire-breathing dinosaur Godzilla. After several rounds, I'm officially throwing in the towel.
For centuries, there was harmony. The Titans were the guardians of nature, and the great apes became the protectors of humanity.
Now you could ask, why is respected thespian Rebecca Hall in this thing? Or indeed, equally class acts like Sally Hawkins, Juliette Binoche, Bryan Cranston and Tom Hiddleston. They've all clipped the Kong Godzilla ticket in the past. Well, they've clearly got stronger stomachs than me.
Kong, Godzilla, They can feel it, too. Something is coming. Something even they're afraid of.
So, when a friend told me that a project they'd been working on for 2 years in London had just had a massive launch worldwide on Netflix, I gratefully accepted it, even if it looked a little thin. Damsel is a sort of fairy tale that deconstructs the idea of saving a damsel in distress.
We should take the furs too. And the drapes.
Not the drapes!
You hate that pattern in your room anyway.
They serve a purpose.
Floria, our people are freezing. And starving.
It opens on two sisters, Elodie and Floria, wondering where their next meal is coming from. Times are hard. But wait, who's this mysterious traveller calling on their father, Lord Ray Winstone, and stepmother, Lady Angela Bassett? It turns out love is in the air.
I have made a match. A prince. We need this. Your people need you.
Well, if not love, then certainly a profitable marriage. Elodie, played by former child star Millie Bobby Brown of Stranger Things fame, has to suck it up for the greater good. Incidentally, the mysterious stranger, the Red Priestess, according to the credits, vanishes after this and is never seen again.
You must be Elodie.
I am. She will do.
Well, get used to this. In fact, one of the first things you notice, apart from the king's ransom Netflix seemed to have spent on special effects, is a certain slapdash approach to structure. Characters appear, then vanish. Plot points waver and wobble, almost as much as some of the characters' accents.
I need you to listen to me now. I don't trust them. They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
Before the wedding takes place, we meet the Queen, Robin Wright, a long time after her own Princess Bride. She smiles a lot, but we know she's likely to be a villain because she acts mostly through gritted teeth.
For generations, it has been our task to protect our people.
And we must not forget Elodie's eminently forgettable husband-to-be, Prince Henry, another former child star, Nick Robinson. After the wedding, the happy couple go up a steep mountain. Why? For the time-honoured ceremony where the groom carries the bride and chucks her down a deep hole.
Your hand, child.
Close your eyes. I've got you.
Elodie is being offered to the local dragon in a deal as old as time, apparently. The dragon eats the princess and then spares the kingdom until the next royal wedding. It gets an invitation, I assume. Why all the Edith Piaf on the trailer? Sorry, I can't help you there.
It is this sacrifice we commemorate every generation. A tradition going back centuries. A legacy of honour and duty you now inherit.
The rest of Damsel involves our heroine getting out of distress under her own steam, since the handsome prince has proved so unreliable. It's a long haul to freedom and belatedly to save her young sister, in a bit pinched from the Hunger Games.
I'll escape. For every innocent woman whose life was stolen.
In fact, much of the story includes bits and bobs stolen from all over the shop. It has all the hallmarks of a project that's been tampered with for 2 years by a company with so much money, it's no longer interested in hits as such.
What happened to you? Elodie, you join a long line of women who have helped to build this kingdom.
Unlike traditional studios, which live and die on prolonged box office success, Netflix is really only interested in clicks on first appearance, it seems. So long as it's number one first week, after that, who cares?
Seize her!
Elodie!
nothing of our story.
Well, certainly not all the well-paid people who worked on Damsel, I imagine. Like most films these days, the crew list occupies over 5 minutes of a reasonably brisk crawl. How bad is it? Well, if I tell you I almost wish I'd gone to see Godzilla and Kong, the new empire now, that might give you a hint.
This is the end of your story.
The Oscar-nominated Italian film Yo Capitano looks like it's about to tell a depressingly familiar story of third-world refugees and their doomed efforts to reach safety in West Europe. But this isn't quite that story. We meet two teenage cousins in the West African country of Senegal. Unlike many regions nearby, things are not that bad here. Seydou and Moussa are still at school, but they're secretly working after class to save money for their big plan. They're both musicians and they're sick of just playing drums at family street parties. They have big ambitions, particularly Moussa. We could be playing in Europe, he tells the impressionable Seydou. White people will be asking for our autographs. Knowing that their parents will say no, they decide to run off anyway and seek their fortunes. This, despite warnings from their older neighbours, if you set off across the Sahara Desert, you'll surely die. And those hard-earned savings won't go far. Everything costs money, even getting the blessing of your ancestors, apparently.
Assalamu alaikum, sunu mami. Nyongeni nui bubah. Nadanyi waja dem.
The bus takes them to a town in nearby Niger, where they spend more than they expected to board an open truck careering across the desert. And it's not just them. There are over two dozen other desperate travellers hanging onto the side of the truck, if they're lucky. Seydou and Moussa manage to stay on board. That's good. But soon the truck drops them off, not at some Mediterranean port, but in the middle of nowhere, expected to walk the rest of the way on foot. That's bad. And woe betide you if you fall behind, helping an older woman in distress. Things get even worse when the footsore caravan crosses the border into Libya and they're suddenly attacked by armed thugs in jeeps demanding money. Money or die, they scream. And when Moussa tries to hide the last of their savings, he's dragged off, leaving Seydou bereft and broke. It all looks hopeless, but the movie Yo Capitano and its director Matteo Garrone have plans for our young hero. At Seydou's lowest ebb, he strikes up a friendship with an older builder, and miraculously, the pair get some work. Okay, maybe it's not the happy ending Seydou has been hoping for, and we're barely halfway through the movie yet, but it's a start. And he sets himself a task to find and rescue Moussa if he can. So all his spare time he visits the many camps of Senegalese workers looking for his cousin.
mais li tax nga non wax bu ñew tamit li la xolal li ma ma déwé sénégal mo mo gëna
bu doddi ma ngi ni bu kaw ba ngi ni bu yex sénen do paré boy.
I've been describing Yo Capitano as an odyssey rather than the tragic journey into the heart of darkness we've become so used to in stories that start like this. But what it shares with Homer's epic is it never allows us to lose faith that Seydou will somehow get where he's going, unlikely as that sounds.
Si jamais tu conduis le bateau, je t'emmène toi et ton ami.
Je ne suis pas capable de conduire ces grands bateaux-là. Il y a beaucoup de personnes, il y a des vies, il y a des enfants.
And like the Odyssey, it even ends up, to our astonishment, on the sea, with landlubber Seydou behind the wheel of a boat full of equally over-optimistic evacuees. Is it the legendary craft of Odysseus and his crew, or is it just a ship of fools?
You want to make us die here, in plein mer?
Adding extra mythological weight are occasional scenes of pure magic. Seydou has no control of his dreams, like one where he walks effortlessly across the sands, pulling a lighter-than-air version of the woman he tried to help. But Yo Capitano is a story based on hopes and dreams, and the ending refuses to judge them. I loved it, and I hope you do too. New Zealand character actor Rachel House has been the secret weapon of too many local movies to count. Whale Rider, Bellbird, Hunt for the Wilder People, and particularly Cousins. She's hugely respected by Pixar too, notably Moana and Soul, as well as doing a lot of work behind the scenes with child performers, Jojo Rabbit, Boy, dozens of others. Her feature directing debut is The Mountain.
I'm going to go right to the top. So you better start believing.
Well, I'm pleased Rachel's having a go at directing, particularly a film that rests so heavily on great child performances, which is famously Rachel's strong suit. But personally, I'd love to see her take on a meaty starring role herself rather than her usual brilliant cameos.
My mission is to get to the top of my mountain.
You don't need to climb your teeth enough. How would you like if people were climbing all over your head?
At first glance, The Mountain looks to come from the Taika Waititi playbook. Three feisty 11-year-olds on a mission with no assistance from grown-ups, thank you very much. Leading the pack is cancer patient Sam, who's been undergoing chemo at a hospital that looks out on Mount Taranaki.
I'm Sam. I'm a Māori. I just have to prove that I belong to you. And maybe you want to keep me around.
Though she's never met her Māori father, Sam knows his tribe is strongly connected to the mountain, and therefore so is she. She decides to climb it and use her mountain strength to get well again.
There ain't nothing higher. Hi. Who are you?
There's a new kid in town, and he's really cool.
Meanwhile, the diffident Mallory is an unlikely mountain climber despite his late mother's enthusiasm for it. Mallory takes after his far less adventurous dad, usually. But on the anniversary of Mum's death, he decides he owes it to her to have a go, which is where he runs into Sam, who sends him back for supplies.
It would be good if you could bring marshmallows. Oh.
And the third musketeer, with expertise in matters Māori and saving the planet, is angry young Bronco. He's mostly angry at his dad, who he blames for his parents' recent divorce. Bronco comes with a bike called Black Beauty.
Tēnā kōrua, ko Bronco tōku ingoa. My guardian, o papatu wānuku.
Our OG mother, she puts up with a lot.
Gotcha. Blinking disrespectful.
Mallory has his mum's barometer, while Sam has a trusty staff called Woodface, all of which I found rather endearing. I had some doubts whether it was going to sustain an entire movie, though, but to my surprise, it did. It looks good for a start, particularly the mountain itself, even if the storyline occasionally pulls its punches.
The closer I get, the stronger I get. I reckon she needs us.
You get the impression director Rachel House likes her characters too much to want to hurt them. And the characters are the point. The three leads, Elizabeth Atkinson, Reuben Francis and Terrence Daniel, are all terrific. They're naturally charming, but there are also good performances going on here, particularly Elizabeth as Sam, who has the most to do, I suppose.
We're going to get you to the top and you're going to get better. Stay sharp, otherwise I'm done for.
Rachel House is naturally strong at comedy, but she doesn't shy away from the pain underneath. Illness, a recent bereavement, divorce, and a missing unknown father. This could easily slip into maudlin sentiment, but it's a credit to director and performers that doesn't happen. The past may inform what they're doing, but these kids are all about going forward, even if it is a bit crazy.
Dad!
Run.
You're not in any trouble, just want to make sure you're all right.
You're actually in a lot of trouble.
Nice support work from the three parents too, Fern Sutherland, Troy Kingy and Byron Cole. But the other actor I'm keeping my eye on is Sukaina Shah, who plays Sam's deadpan mate in the cancer ward. Never heard of her before, but I want to see her again.
She's gone to save her mountain, can save her life.
Feel that?
What?
Power of my mountain.
People have been comparing The Mountain with Boy and Wilder People, understandably, though it never slipped into smart aleck territory like both of those films occasionally did. I kept being reminded of personal favourites like Into the West, Good Boys and Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Rachel House not only takes a child's point of view seriously, but she brings an extra sweetness which is all her own.
You shall not pass, except for you. Huh?
Well, that said, I still want to see Rachel in a star-making acting role, the sort of thing Olivia Colman seems to knock off every other week. Perhaps with Sukaina Shah as her young sergeant and the other three as her adopted kids. I'm sure Netflix would be interested. And having negotiated this week's various obstacles, our odyssey has landed at Journey's End. I'm Simon Morris, and I hope you'll join me at the movies same time next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.